Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you once again, God, that Lord, that you love us and that you saved us. And God, you filled us with your Spirit. And Lord, you give us your word and give us your Spirit to teach us and guide us and direct us. And as we just continue working through a series here, as we're in Kings and Chronicles and the Prophets and watching what goes on, God, I thank you that, Lord, we have this recorded. And Lord, it's interesting how some of these are so parallel to our life today and what's going on today. And I just pray, God, that you would anoint this time, that you would bless this time, that you'd use Micah the prophet to speak to our hearts, just as he spoke to our hearts centuries ago and ministered to them. So, Lord, I pray we can give you our attention. And if anything's going on in our head or our heart right now, we could get that out of the way and focus on you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Micah, kind of an interesting book. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. And when you kind of think of that, you know, again, in my mind, you got the major prophets, you got the minor prophets, and, you know, you're kind of hanging out with someone like Isaiah. And when I think of these guys, I think of how we hang out together, you know. We just, we're friends, we're family, and we just sit around and hang out and talk, and how much fun it would be, you know, to kind of get in on some of their stuff, because I think they goofed off. I think they, you know, were serious, and you know, we kind of get a glimpse into that. Now, here's something interesting, though. If you remember when we started Hosea, and I didn't put the list up this time, but remember, the northern kingdom went through about five kings. Some of them only ruled like 24 hours, kind of like Trump's cabinet people, and you know, so kind of that issue going on, then you had a couple that had a little lengthier, but man, they were going through them like crazy. And yet the kingdom seemed to be doing well. And you know, when I look at that, I think, you know, you got that going on. He's speaking to that kingdom. Although he was, here's an interesting thing. He was a prophet to the south, but he spoke a lot to the northern kingdom, which to me is kind of a strange thing. And as he's doing that, here's the crux of what he's saying. We're messed up. And that's usually what prophets say, right? But the interesting thing is, he's saying we're messed up because our leadership is messed up. You know, you can have the best government in the world and not have good leaders, and that government's not going to work. And that's what Israel had. I think Israel had a good government, but they had horrible leaders coming in. And so Micah's going to address that. And listen, you don't always have to fix the government in a situation. You got to fix the leadership. And, you know, as I look around our world and stuff going on, I think, man, if we just had some very godly men stepping up and taking a stand and doing stuff, how that would change the world. And then so Micah, I think he was, I kind of think he was, you know, because he is a minor prophet, I don't think he had a huge voice in the government. Like, I think Isaiah got into the right places, right? Because he's Isaiah. It flashes Isaiah badge. Let me in, I'm Isaiah. And Micah, you know, not so much. But yet, man, Micah says some profound things to, especially to Samaria, to that northern kingdom. So let's pick it up here. We'll kind of get introduced to him. And, you know, the first chapter, he's going to talk about sins against God. The second chapter, sins against men. Then we're going to look at some rulers. And then we're going to get to the good news in chapter 4. So, sins against God. But first, we get introduced to Micah. It says, the word, in verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. And again, it's unusual for the prophets to kind of be dual purpose. Usually God raised one up, you know, for that kingdom, raised one up for this kingdom. And Micah kind of has this dual purpose going on. And then I think verse 2 is there for us. Hear all you peoples. You know, sometimes we read these guys and we think, well, they're talking to that generation. I don't have to listen because they're a bunch of doofs. So, you know what? Micah makes sure we're listening. He tells you and I, because they think we're peoples, right? Yeah. So he's saying, listen, hear all you peoples, listen, O earth, and all that is in it. Let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. So now he's talking about, here's what God has to say to our generation. And again, you know, it'd be great if God would raise up some prophets in our day that, you know, can speak to the ear of leaders and tell them and get their ear and speak to them. I mean, I think a lot of us can speak, but we're not going to get that ear to be able to speak to them. So he says, man, here's what God has to say. So picking it up in verse 3, remember, sins against God. He says, for behold, the Lord is coming out of his place, and he will come down, and he will tread on the high place of the earth. The mountains will melt under him. The valleys will split like wax before the fire. The waters poured down a steep place. All of this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Now, it's interesting. He zeroes right into the capitals. Kind of interesting, right? Because where does leadership hang out? In the capitals. He goes, where's our problem? Here's what he's saying. Where's the problem with our generation? It's in Samaria. It's in Jerusalem, pointing both of those out and looking at that. Now, here's what I got to think. I got to think Micah wasn't real popular, especially with the leadership. I'm kind of thinking probably that's why he didn't have the ear of leadership, because they're probably like keeping him at a distance and not wanting to hear him. And I also think he wasn't real popular with the people, with the populace at large. I don't think they were really digging on him and liking him. So look at verse 6. Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, a place for planting a vineyard, and I will pour down her stones into the valley. I will uncover her foundations, and all her carved images shall be beaten to pieces. All her pay as a harlot shall be burned with fire. All her idols I will lay desolate, for she gathered it from the pay of a harlot, and they shall return to the pay of a harlot. Now listen, what God's calling that, what's he saying is Israel, Israel was cheating on him. That's why he's using that terminology. He says, here's what's going on. And God says, I'm going to destroy Samaria. I'm just going to take it out. Now, here's the interesting thing. It happens maybe 15 years after Micah, and it happens almost right away. What he speaks to Jerusalem doesn't happen for 100 or so years, but the stuff going down in Samaria from Assyria goes down really quick. And he's telling them, this is going to happen. Here's what's going to take place. And then the Lord, you know, is, listen, the Lord's not like stoked about destroying things. Look what he says, verse 8, therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make a wailing like the jackals and a mourning like the ostriches. Now, I don't know that I've heard jackals, but I've heard coyotes. And when they start going off, you get a whole bunch of them. It's sounding like someone in deep distress, doesn't it? Listen, this is what Mike is saying about him or the Lord. Now, I've never heard of ostrich. I don't know if they do that. You know, I was reading J. Vernon McGee, and he got to go to an ostrich farm and hear them. So I'll take his word for it. But I don't know. I've never been around them. And listen, God's saying, here's what God's saying. This is affecting my heart. You know, when we look at things and, you know, God brings consequences to behavior in our lives. And he doesn't take joy in that any more than as a parent we take joy when we have to discipline our children. Breaks our hearts, right? You know, what do we tell our kids? Oh, this is hurting me more than it hurting you, right? I remember my dad saying it and I'd roll my eyes like, sure. And then all of a sudden it's coming out of my lips and you're going, oh. You know, and so listen, God's saying, I'm not taking pleasure in this. It's not a joy for me to come and do this. And so he says, but this is what you want, because you're pushing me away, you're rejecting me, you're going to the other one. Now listen, now he's going to talk about some cities in Jerusalem. In verse 9, he says, for her wounds are incurable, and for it has come to Judah, and it has come to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. Now, here's what's interesting. If you go back to 2 Kings, I'm not going to give you what chapter, so you have to read all of 2 Kings to find it. But you go back to 2 Kings, and we left off a little while ago, and remember when Assyria came and they began to conquer Samaria, then they came down through Judah, and they devastated 46 cities, and they got to the gate of Jerusalem. And then remember Hezekiah got that letter? And they were saying, we're going to come and destroy you. That's my favorite part. And what did Hezekiah do with the letter? Lord, it's for you. Right? I love that part, man. And listen, so that's what we're reading about here. Listen, he says they're going to come to the gate of Jerusalem, to the gate of my people, Jerusalem, verse 10. He's going to talk about some of those cities. Tell it not in Gath, weep not at all. In Beth Afar, roll yourself in the dust. Now listen, a lot of these, the names of these cities are kind of a play on terms, and I don't know if it's that way, on what he says afterwards, like Gath and weeping and Beth Ophrah, roll yourself in the dust. It's kind of saying what those mean. And then he says, pass by in naked and shame, you inhabitants of Shafer, and the inhabitant of Zaanan does not go out. Beth Ezel mourns, its place to stand is taken away from you. So again, he just names a few cities and says, here's what's going on. And you have this machine coming at you to destroy you. And listen, most of Jerusalem is going, we're fine. We're going to be okay. And when we get into Jeremiah in a month or two, or 2 months, or maybe 4 months, when we get into Jeremiah, we're going to see that we're doing the same thing to Jeremiah. Jeremiah's going, we need to give up. This is not going to work out good for us. We need to do this. And here's what the people would say. God won't touch us. Doesn't he know we're Jews? Doesn't he know we're in Jerusalem, his holy city? And he kind of taken that stand. So listen, I think that's kind of going on here. And as it's rolling down, then he talks about his own hometown in a sense. He gets to it in a minute. He says, for the inhabitants of Maroth pined for good, but the disaster came down from the Lord to the gates of Jerusalem. O inhabitant of Lachish, harness the chariot to the swift steeds. She was the beginning of sin to the daughters of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in you. So again, it came down, went through Lachish. Lachish was a main stable area where they kept the horses for Jerusalem. Remember what God said to the king? Do you remember when God gave him a king? Here's what he said. Two things. Don't have a lot of wives. That didn't work out well, right? They didn't listen to that. They got a lot of wives. And don't acquire for yourself a lot of horses. They had a whole city of stables. You're kind of thinking, come on. And that's, listen, he says, that's the sin creeping down. Verse 14, therefore you shall give presents to Moresheth, that's where Micah was from, Moresheth Gath, to the house of Achzib, the houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. In other words, they're going to look at stuff, think it's okay. I will yet bring an heir to you, O inhabitant of Marishah. The glory of Israel shall come to Adullam. Make yourself bald, cut off your hair because of your precious children. Enlarge your baldness like an eagle, for they shall go from you into captivity. So listen, he gives them a little bit of hope, right? Tells them, you know, cut off their hair. Again, that's what Israel did, you know, when as far as the time of mourning and preparation. So listen, man, he warns them about things going on and lets them know, here, this is what's going to happen. Now, chapter 2 kind of gets into what people were doing to one another. And chapter 3, we'll get more into the leadership, but I think chapter 2 is also what the leadership is doing and how they're treating one another. So verse 1, chapter 2, woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. At morning light they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. So here's what's interesting to me. He's talking about people laying awake at night thinking of things to do that are evil. I got to be honest, I think that goes on in our generation. I think there's a lot of people wasting nights away trying to figure out how to get away with something, how to, you know, pull something over on somebody else, how to rip somebody off, how to do certain things. So, and you can see covetousness was a big deal. Look at the end of that verse. They covet fields and take them by violence. You know, as I think of verse 2 and talking about that, who comes to mind when you read they covet fields? King Ahab, huh? Remember King Ahab and Jezebel? And he wanted that vineyard. Remember, he wanted Naboth's vineyard. And he's whining, I can't get it. And Jezebel says, quit whining. I'll go get it. You need to man up, buddy. I'll go get it for you, right? And then they murder him. Listen, all of that filtered down. So listen, they were ripping people off. Do you remember who the land belongs to? Even today, you know who Israel belongs to? God. Remember, it's his land, and he said, hey, you guys can live here, and I'll let you live in my land. Just do what I ask you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take care of it a certain way. I want you to treat each other a certain way. I want you to be a light to the world, and you can hang out in my land, and you can stay here. You can stay in my land. But if you mess my land up, I'm going to throw you out because it's my land. And I think today, that little area of the Middle East is still God's land. I mean, I know he owns the whole earth, but I think that's special to him. And he's still guarding it and still taking care of it. So listen, he's telling them, and here's what they're doing. Remember they had, they divided up all the land, right? Between the 12 tribes and then the families. And remember, if you've ever read like Joshua, Numbers, going through all that, kind of figure that out, the books we love. Listen, they got it all figured out. And then do you remember what the Lord told them? Hey, if somebody gets in a bad way, you can buy their land, but really you're only leasing it till the year of Jubilee, right? And a year of Jubilee, everything had to go back to their original owners. Isn't that cool? God says, hey, I got a great plan. Everybody's going to be okay. I want everybody to be taken care of. I don't want to get, you know, certain land barons and people getting real rich. Well, here's what these guys are saying. We don't want to follow you, God. We don't like your laws. We don't like what you said. So we're going to do it our own way. We're going to take people's fields by violence. And this is also houses, and they seize those. So they oppress a man and his house and a man and his inheritance. They take that away, and they're not giving it back. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, nor shall you walk haughtily, for this is an evil time. Listen, God says, I'm going to take care of this. You know, I shared a couple times whenever we go to Israel, and especially the last time we were in Israel, our one guide, Ronnie Simone, who's not a believer, and, you know, he's a Jew and not a real, you know, Orthodox Jew. He practices Judaism, but not real strong. But Ronnie, every time we're there, if you've been with us and talked to him, here's what he says. I got a few questions I'm going to ask God about the way we were treated and the way, and, you know, the Holocaust and certain things. And there's a very simple answer, Ronnie. I've given it to him privately. You were treated that way because you rejected God. That's why God did that. God made it very plain. It's not like it should be a big surprise. He tells them in all through Scripture, you do this, here's what I'm going to do. So here's what he's telling them. Listen, you treat families that way and you rip off their land, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to rip off your land, so to speak, right? I'm going to take care of them. So, verse 4, in that day, I will take up a proverb against you and lament with bitter lamentation, saying, we are utterly destroyed. He has changed the heritage of my people. How he has removed it from me to a turncoat. He has divided our fields. Therefore, you will have no one to determine boundaries by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Here's what they're whining because God cheated us. And God says, no, this is what's going to happen. Now we got to talk about the prophets. And he talks about prophets quite a bit. So here's what I'm thinking. During Isaiah, during Micah, during the time of Hezekiah being, I was going to say president, but king, Hezekiah and Manasseh, during all of that time, it seems to me there were a lot of prophets. A lot of people speaking, a lot of people putting stuff out there. Here's what God says. And you have the true prophets having to come against that. So here's what he's saying. Listen, here's what people were saying to the true prophets. Do not prattle, you say to those who prophesy. So here's what the people were saying. Hey, Mr. Prophet, just shut up. We don't want to hear you. We want to hear the prophets who are telling us everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. We want our ears tickled. We don't want Micah. Just go chill out someplace, right? Go take a chill pill. Go get a reality check and see what's going on. Because look around us. It's not as bad as you think it is, right? So listen, he says, that's what prattle means, all of that, right? They shall not return insult for insult. You who are named the house of Jacob, Is the Spirit of the Lord restricted? Now, here's what I love, man. Here's what he's saying. Prophets aren't going to argue back and forth. They're just going to, okay, you don't want to hear me, right? And then he says, listen, you guys from the house of Jacob, here's what he asks them. Is the Spirit of the Lord restricted? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? Here's what he's saying. Man, you follow the Lord. Listen, if you're walking right and you hear the word of the Lord and you follow the word of the Lord, what kind of life are you going to have? Not a miserable one. You can have a good life, right? Hey, you follow me. God says you follow me, but you don't want to do that. So lately, my people have risen up as an enemy. You pull the robe with the garment from those who trust you as they pass by like men return from war. Now, you know, this part, we kind of read this, and I don't think most of us get it. Remember, they had their garment, and then they had the robe, and the robe was like the thing that they would cover up with, that they would sleep on. You know, it was like their binky, so to speak, right? Kind of thing. And listen, every guy had one. And here's what God's saying. You're ripping it off. Listen, it's one thing to take their land. It's another thing to take their clothes. But you're taking their binkies from them, and you can't be doing that, right? This is a thing that they use. Don't do that. And so listen, and ripping off orphans. And then listen to the women of my people, verse 9. You cast them out from their pleasant house, from their children. You have taken away my glory forever. Here's what God's saying. You guys don't just stop at taking land. You're ripping everybody off, even to the point where you're ripping off widows, you're ripping off orphans, you're doing all that. Sounds like a horrible place, right? But here's what the people see. They got on their rose-colored glasses and they're going, no, everything's fine. It's all okay. You don't understand. Oh. Does it kind of sound like today? I don't think everything's real great out there. I mean, I personally think we're living in a blessed time because we can share the gospel, but it's not great out there. And so, listen, the Lord puts that out, and then he kind of, again, gives them a little bit here. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is defiled. It shall destroy. Yes, it is utter, utter destruction. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you wine and drink. In other words, they'll come and tell you everything's fine. Even he would be the prattler of this people. So even if a guy comes and tells you something's good, you're going to pick on him. And then the good news, just a little bit of good news. He says, I will surely assemble, verse 12, all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like the flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. You know who that is? That's Jesus. Yeah. He says, listen, man, he's going to break things open, and they will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their right hand. So listen, here's the sin against God. Here's the sin against people. But you know who's greater than sin? Our God. He's greater than sin. His love. And you can't tell me, listen, you can't tell me that this is not a heart of somebody who loves the people, even though they're doing everything possible to push him away. It's like people are pushing away. It's like God is not going to give up. Now, he's got to talk about the leaders for a little bit. Then we're going to get into some really good news. But first of all, he's got to let us know, man, these leaders, they're horrible. So first, the rulers, so to speak, the princes and the kings. And I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil. Oh, there it is, right? Man, does it blow your mind that we live in a generation that hates good and loves evil? And you look around and I just go, sometimes I think, how backwards can it get, And I guess that's a sign of old age. Because you just start thinking, it can't get any worse than this. It just keeps getting worser and worser and worser, And you're just going, man, I mean, you who hate good and love evil. People hate good right now, especially in America, and they love evil. You know, it blows my mind. I'm not going to get into a bunch of politics, but you know, again. And then who stripped the skin, listen to what he says. This is what God sees when you're ripping people off. This gets gross. He's pretty graphic. Who stripped skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones, chop them in pieces like meat for a pot and like flesh for the cauldron. That's what God sees when we're ripping people off. He doesn't see somebody just kind of being conniving and, you know, kind of doing it. He sees that. That's gross. I read that and that's, right? Have you had dinner yet? Yeah, you kind of read that, and it kind of takes your appetite away, right? And that's, you know, and you look at that, and it's got to get us to understand something, man. Sin is ugly, and God wants to make sure we see it as ugly, not as something just minor or some little thing. No, man, he sees these people who are cheating the other people as people who are devouring them. They, verse 4, talking about the leaders who are chopping up people in little pieces, he says, then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time because they have been evil in their deeds. So that's the princes, that's the leaders, that's the ones who are supposed to be taking care of Israel. And once again, we think about, you know, think about you can devise this great government and then you put funky people in it and it doesn't work, right? And so it's all messed up. Now, here's the prophets. Listen to what he says about the prophets of his day. The Lord says concerning the prophets in verse 5, who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against them, who puts nothing into their mouths. Therefore, you shall have night without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination, and the sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. Listen to what God is saying. You guys are following these false prophets, and listen to me. I'm going to take revelation away from them. That's what he's talking about when he says they're going to go in darkness. They're not going to have the light from the Lord. And listen, man, if you don't get revelation from God, you've got nothing to give to people except for some phony stuff. And he says, that's what's going to happen. And he says, it's going to get darker and darker. And it's going to get worse and worse again. And verse 7, so the seers shall be ashamed and the diviners abashed. Indeed, they shall cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. Now, here's what I love. But truly, I am full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's what he's saying. That's the false prophets, but I'm full of the, you know, again, not being arrogant, I'm full of the power and justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. That's what God raised up Micah for. Now, once again, I'm not sure I would like that ministry. I'm not sure I would want to be somebody that God raised up to tell powerful people their sin. Because usually you tell powerful people their sin and you suffer repercussions, right? And, you know, so I'm not sure. Some people think, woo, I wish I could do that because they're kind of, you know, they're Nazis for Jesus or whatever and they kind of want to do those things and they want to be the Holy Spirit and do stuff. But listen, can you imagine talking to, number one, the leaders and saying, here's what you're doing. You're chopping people up and eating them. And then you look at their spiritual, the prophets, and you're saying, here's what you're doing. And you're just giving a bunch of lies and a bunch of false hope, and you're walking in darkness. Wow. But I'm the one who's, sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it? But it's not. But listen, I've got the word of the Lord. Oh, now, listen, now he's got to talk about, now here's what I like. He kind of puts the rulers, the priests, and the prophets all together in these last few verses of chapter 3. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and you rulers of the house of Israel who hate justice, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for pay. Kind of getting the idea there was a lot of stuff going on under the table, man. A lot of stuff happening. And man, God did not miss any of it. It's not like, you know, listen, here's what I think, man. I think this whole, not this here, but Jerusalem at this time, under this, I think they all think they're getting away with it, man. They're pulling all of these deals. They're doing all of this stuff. They got all of this money transferred. They're using electronic transfer. They got some stuff in Swiss bank accounts. They got stuff all everywhere. God says, I see that. You're not getting away with nothing. And then it kind of breaks my heart, the priests, the ones who are supposed to, remember in the Old Testament, they were the ones who to represent the people to God, not God to the people, but the people to God. And now they're saying, well, yeah, I can do it if you pay me enough. If you give me a little something, we can take care of you. Right? It's kind of ugly. And then, listen, he's a little bit further. Listen, as he talks about that, her priest doing that in the middle of verse 11, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, it's not the Lord among us. No harm can come to us. Puke. Right? Just write that right next to that in the margin. Puke. It's ugly, man. I'm thinking, seriously, isn't it sad when people put on a facade of spirituality? I think, you know what? I think that drives people away from God more than anything else. Is people pretending, you know what? If you don't want to follow God, don't pretend you're following God. Just go out and sin, man. Go sin your heart out. But don't tell me you love Jesus while you're doing that. And that's what these guys are doing, man. And it's, the Lord sees it all. And again, Micah's telling them all, therefore, verse 12, because you, Zion, or because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like bare hills of the forest. Man, here's what he's saying. In about 115, 120 years, this place is going to be gone. Who's going to come in? A guy, Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to come in. He's going to wipe it out. And listen, Micah's seeing that. It's already kind of happening up in Samaria a little bit. He says, this is what's going to happen. Now, all of that's bad news. Now we come to the good news. Right? And here's what's interesting. The first three verses here are the same as Isaiah 2, 2 through 4. Identical. And so I love critics. Who ripped who off? Did Micah rip off Isaiah, or did Isaiah rip off Micah? No, neither. Listen, God, have you ever noticed through the Bible, God kind of repeats himself? Yeah. And they're going, but it's word for word. You know what that tells me? I think they both heard from the Lord, word for word. This is my opinion. Again, you know, one person said, I really think Micah said it first, and Isaiah kind of grabbed it from Micah. I'm not going to blame either one of them because I got to go to heaven and see them. So I'm going with God spoke to both of them. It shall come to pass in verse 1 in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. Now imagine speaking this when the temple's still there, when everything's still fine, and you're talking about it's been destroyed and all of this is going to happen. That's going to be kind of weird, right? Don't you think some of the people are going, dude, it's right there. What are you talking about, right? And I love this scene. He says, listen, it's going to be established on top of the mountains and there, verse 1, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Oh, doesn't that sound so good? That's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen when the King of Kings comes. And the Lord of Lords. And man, there's just going to be such an outpouring of the Spirit. Oh, so come quickly. Verse 2, many nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Imagine, man, he's saying people from all over the world are coming in. You know he's got to be talking about, you know, the millennial time. Not this can't be when they're brought back from Babylon. That didn't happen. I don't even think it's going to happen, you know, during the time of the tribulation, because it's going to happen when Jesus sets, and they're coming from New York, they're coming from L.A., man. They're coming from Rome and Paris, and they're just flooding in from Moscow, from, you know, Dubai. All those places are coming in. Doesn't that sound so good? And they're just flooding in to Jerusalem. Who if all those people go to Jerusalem to look for anything other than, you know, some Jews and some crazy Christians. But they're going to flood from all over. And listen, and here's what they're doing. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke the strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Once again, talking about peace, once again, that's over the United Nations. They claim that verse, and they can't even get together and talk to each other, much less follow this verse, right? It's just insane. And here's the thing, though. It'll never happen. Why? Because of man. In case you guys don't know this, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Are, all of us. I'm not saying they're, our hearts are. Isn't that what the Lord tells us? And we need His Word to discern. We need His Word in us. And man, listen, we look at the UN, and I do, and I think, you know, it's, but here's what I know. I probably don't have that much better of a plan other than I want people to come to Jesus. And so listen, man, He lays all that out, and then 4 and 5 are definitely Micah's. I love it. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. What are the two things that represent Israel? Even under money, man, for a while, they put a vine on there. It's all about the vine and the fig tree, right? And here's what he's not talking about literal vines and literal fig trees. Here's what he's saying. Everybody's going to be safe and secure. It's all going to be good. And he says, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken, for all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Woo! Yeah. Huh? That's good stuff, isn't it? And he's not done. Verse 6, in that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcast, and those whom I have afflicted. God is going to gather. Hey, Ronnie, God is going to gather you guys, right? God is going to bring you. God brought the affliction, but he's got the relief from the affliction. He's got the answer. So listen, God is going to bring them. And he says, I will make, in verse 7, I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you it shall come. Even the former dominion shall come. The kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. So listen, God is saying, I'm going to bring that kingdom. What's he talking about? David. It's coming back. Jesus is going to sit on the throne. Listen, if Jesus does not sit on a throne in Jerusalem, God's a liar. He hasn't done it yet. Jesus has to come back. He's going to finish it. The work's not done. And I know he's going to do that someday. I know he's going to come back, and he's going to sit on a literal throne. That's not just stuff where, it cracks me up when people say, well, I think we can spiritualize all that, and Jesus is sitting on a throne now. No, he's not. He's not on a throne in Jerusalem. This is talking about a literal place. And he's going to come and do that. So all of that's going to get restored. But here's what's going to happen in the meantime. Now we're going to talk about, here's what's crazy. He does that. It'll get good at the end again. But he does that. Now he's going, oh, by the way, here's something that's going to happen. The Babylonian captivity. Sorry about that. Right? But here's what's going to happen now. Verse 9. Why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? For pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pains. For now you shall go forth from the city, and you shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered, for the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Listen, God took them to Babylon to fix them, not to punish them, but to fix them. He says, you're going to go away, you're going to be fine. 70 years, again, all of that is so phenomenal to think about, that God laid all that out, gave it. Jeremiah's going to prophesy about it. By the way, Jeremiah quotes our buddy here, Micah. And when we get to Jeremiah, we'll read how he quotes Micah. But listen, all of that's going on. And then, here's what God says. Here's the final Armageddon war. It's crazy with this guy, how he sees things. Now, also, many nations have gathered against you who say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. So all of these nations are coming against Israel, right? If you read your Bible, they're all gathering there. We're going to get Israel and we're going to get God. And then here's what God says, I'm glad you came. Verse 12, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel, for he will gather them like sheaves to a threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hooves bronze, and you shall beat in pieces many peoples, and I will consecrate their gain to the Lord, and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. God says, you know, they're going to come, but you don't have to worry about it, because I'm on your side. And I've said it many times, you and God always make a majority. You need to know that, man. When you're facing stuff and you got God on your side, you always make a majority. So, Micah, pretty crazy time, huh? Micah's saying, man, look it, we're going through kings like crazy. We're doing these things. And it's not good for the north. It's not good for the south. The north, you're kind of already feeling it. You're kind of already understanding it. But you're wicked people, man. You need to start treating people decently. And just, you know, take care of them. Quit ripping off their binkies and taking their stuff away from them. And treat them nice. And you can stay in the land. But we know the story, right? Nobody listens to these prophets. Again, when people tell me, I think it'd be cool to be a prophet. Do you read the prophets? Nobody listens to them. Never at the end of their book do they go, and everybody fell in love with me, and ministry was wonderful. They go, nobody listens to me. They're all thinking I'm a whack job out there, you know? And at least they didn't have to do anything too crazy yet. So, listen, we're going to finish this book next time, but I want us to think about, let's think about maybe spending more time trying to reach people for Jesus and less time, and I'm not saying not being involved at all, but less time trying to fix our government. Let's fix our government by fixing people, by getting people in the right place. And again, don't hear my heart, man. If God's called you that direction, go for it, man. I wish there were more godly people in the government and taking offices and doing that. I think that would be wonderful, man. I'd get behind them 120%. But, you know, our job, I think, is to let's get hearts fixed. I know that we can solve all the issues that we're facing one heart at a time. Reaching people for Jesus and letting them know that this is what he has for them. Forgiveness and life to its fullest. Let's stand up and pray. Lord, as we as we think about this and think about Micah and the prophecy and God, I think especially as I pray that for us, for our generation, you would open up our eyes. That, Lord, we could see, I think we got a good perspective on real gross and vile things that are just out front. But, Lord, I pray that we'd have that tender heart. You can see when some poor person is getting ripped off, that, Lord, that's such a great defilement in your eyes. When people are taking advantage of other people, even if they're not poor, they're taken advantage of and they're ripping them off. And God, you see that as chopping them up in pieces and eating them. Give us that kind of heart to take a stand and to take a stand for righteousness and take a stand for goodness, take a stand for honesty. And God, I pray for our fellowship. I pray that we could impact this community and then the world beyond, and we could make a difference in our world. Use us, God, to speak to the lives, into the lives of the people around us and the people we come in contact with. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.